Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Maternity Live episode 2. You guys, I'm so overwhelmed by the support and the reaction to the first episode from people who are pregnant, trying to get pregnant, to people who are newly single and kids aren't even remotely on their radar. I'm just really not only appreciative of the support, but also of how much you guys have been willing to open up and share with me. I think on one side, it makes me feel less crazy, right? Like I'm going into this deep, dark black hole every day of just like feeling like everything is so difficult and I'm really struggling to knowing that I'm not alone in that. And then on the other side of it, which I think is so fascinating, is so many people reacted to the notion of just cutting the fat from relationships. And, you know, in every stage of life, you become a different person. And in that person, you require different friendships. And I think right now in this phase of my life, like I am realizing what I require and what I don't. And what I'm trying to really do is wrap my head around, like, I would rather be more excited about what's to come than feel bad about the things that are currently leaving my life. And so I think about things from like, Mommy and Me to friggin' PTA, that just like over time, there's gonna be a whole new host of people that enter my life. And like, I just wanna be more excited about that than feel down about the people that are leaving my life. And, you know, maybe they're not leaving entirely. Maybe they're just kind of leaving in the way that they currently exist in my life. But, you know, so many people reached out to me about my podcast, a lot of people that I know, you know, people that I work with. And, you know, I thought about it and I'm like, oh my God, this person knows that like, I thought I was going to shit my pants during my scan. And I, you know, at first I would like wanted to cringe and die inside. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. And I can't believe said person heard it. And then on the other side of it, I'm thinking, I'm so glad that that person knows me on that intimate level. Like I'm definitely more human to them. I think they definitely, you know, maybe might want to have a better relationship with me because they know me on a deeper level. And so I thought about it. It's like, I want to know people that I work with, people that I spend most of my time with on a deeper level. Like, why does it always have to be surface? And so that was really my whole goal in creating this podcast, was just to be honest, like create a safe space for people to talk about whatever they want and get whatever they want to off their chest. And so I do hope that in my doing this, like not only will other people in their lives like treat the people in their networks and their circles with kind of like open honesty, but the people in mine, you know, now you guys are knowing all this shit about me. I want to get some stuff back. But anyways, I digress. I think, you know, one of the things that I've realized is just getting things off my chest is so good for the soul. It's like, it definitely makes things feel better. Maybe sometimes it makes them feel worse before you feel better, but there's a whole host of things that once I feel like I say them out loud, I can actually tackle them versus them living in my head and driving me crazy. And I think one of the topics that I will cover in depth, not today, unfortunately, but I do have an amazing show planned for you today. But just weight gain. I think weight in general is a super sensitive topic. I think coupled with pregnancy and things being super out of your control, like this is something I think I talk about, at least to my husband, on a daily basis. Like I cry about it every day. I cry for my poor body, for my poor knees that are holding up all this newfound weight. And I think once I say it, yes, in the moment, I definitely like feel worse because I'm like crying about how sad I am. But then after the fact, he'll be like, you're pregnant. And I'll be like, I know I am, but, and he's like, no buts, you're pregnant. And I feel like once I say it and I put it out there, I'm able to actually tackle it better and realize that I'm carrying human life inside of me. This isn't in my freaking control. And I'll handle it when it is in my control. And I think it's really helpful just to get things off my chest on a regular basis. And that is exactly what this podcast is here to serve. But I actually really encourage all of you to try to do it too, because so many times when you just say things versus when you think them, they become tangible and you're able to address them, or people around you will make you realize that it's just in your head and it's not for real. Like one of the things that pregnancy has brought upon for me is just, I feel really anxious all the time. Just things in my head of like, am I doing this right? Am I being the best version of myself I can possibly be to make sure that my baby has everything it needs from me and is growing in the way that it needs to? What books do I need to read, if any? Why don't I have leg cramps? What about this cramp that I do have? Is that normal? Yesterday, the baby was moving a lot. Today, the baby's not moving at all. And I just start to worry about all these things in my head. And, you know, I have a few friends who are also pregnant now. And I feel like sometimes when I say to them, like, hey, how do you feel about blah, blah, blah? It just makes me feel better and less crazy versus all these stories I concoct in my head. Because then you start to Google, and you should never Google anything. I mean, I want to get hashtag never Google trending because it's just so terrifying to read all the stuff, which is essentially one person's isolated opinion. And that's what I've started to realize, especially in the times that we're dealing with now. So many people have asked me what I think about coronavirus and pregnancy. So much of it is unknown. They really don't know how it's going to affect pregnant women. Then you read something somewhere where they say that it can't transmit to the baby. And then you read that in the UK, you know, pregnant women, they want to ban them from leaving the house for the rest of the year. Like, you just can't get a straight answer. And so I think for me, what I've started to do is just be just more mindful, smarter, safer about every single thing. And then, you know, try to find the silver lining in things. Like, for example, I'm close to my third trimester. It is not easy for me to get up and get dressed every single day. I mean, for God's sakes, this morning I puked like I never fucking puked before. And it's like, you know, am I mad about the fact that I'm working from home in my comfy sweats and I can really take care of myself in a way that I probably wouldn't be able to if I had to leave the house from like 8:30 to 6:30 every day? What a time, you know? I know it's hard to really like think about how scary kind of the world is around you, but I feel like I am in such a good position to take care of myself right now the way I really need to. And that to me feels totally like silver lining in this whole situation. Like I'm able to wake up, make myself a nice breakfast, make a little home office area, be super productive. I don't know about you, but I'm way more productive working from home. I've covered my camera on my computer just to make sure absolutely nobody can see me. And I go about my day. I make like a nice healthy lunch. I have lovely snacks. I feel like sometimes in the office, even when you're pregnant and you're starving 24 freaking seven, you just kind of get caught up in bouncing from meeting to meeting. You don't always have time to like go get a proper lunch. You might eat shitty snacks that are just there in the office. Like I feel like now I take the time to actually, you know, think about what I'm gonna have for every meal. I make it myself so I know what's in it. And then, you know, when I close my computer around 6 o'clock-ish every night, I take a bath, which is so lovely. You know, I can't recommend baths enough, but like just to relax and decompose from the day. And then I cook dinner and I have dinner with my husband. And then we sit on the couch and we watch some TV or whatever it is. It's kind of just like a nice, normal pace of life. And I've had friends text me, be like, are you going crazy? And it's like, no, actually, I'm not going crazy at all, because what I'm doing right now is what I enjoy doing on the weekends when I have nothing to do, when everything is so go, go, go all the time. Like how nice it is to just actually have the time to do whatever it is you want to do for yourself, whether that's read a book, start a TV show, listen to podcasts, hopefully this one. And so, you know, obviously wash your hands 7 million times a day. I'm loving Clorox wipes. If I ever need to leave the house, or when I was leaving the house probably like a week or so ago, I put them on my hands as almost like gloves. Worked great. Anytime you get delivery, and you should get delivery and support local businesses, just wipe down the containers and the bags and wash your hands after you unpack things. But, you know, in 10 years from now, when we look back on this, like, we should remember that we use this time to take care of ourselves, not that we use this time to be in a panic and believe everything we read on the internet and, you know, had major anxiety from it. Use this time to FaceTime people that you haven't had a chance to catch up with. Do all the things that you would do if, like, you had the time during the day. I actually saw something really interesting online where people like are always talking about how they don't have enough time to work out, or they don't have enough time to like eat right. And it's like, this is the time. I don't know. I am very much of the mindset that I'm very okay to be home. I'm really glad to be like taking care of myself. I can't even fathom having to like get dressed. None of my shoes even fit me. It's just hard. Like, it's hard out there for a pregnant woman. It's hard out there for anybody. Just take the time for you. Like, we're probably never going to get this much time to like work from home again. And so, especially for my pregnant ladies, like, yes, it is definitely scary because we absolutely don't know what the ramifications of it are. But as long as you could catch the flu, you could catch, you know, anything from the outside world on a given basis. So just take the time for yourself and enjoy it. I certainly am. I love being at home. This is how I ideally spend most of my weekends anyway. So, I mean, ask me how I'm feeling in like 2 weeks when I'm probably ready to kill Zachary. But in the meantime, right now, I'm doing just fine. And so, anyways, I digress on coronavirus. Just trust healthcare professionals. Don't Google anything. Everything will be okay. And that's advice I'm at least giving to myself. So I feel like it's important for me to give it to you too. So anyway, speaking of somebody that I will probably kill in the next 2 weeks because, you know, here we are self-quarantining together, but I have a super special show planned for you guys today. Many of you have asked to hear from the man, the myth, the legend, the person who literally impregnated me in the first place. And considering that he's going to be a first-time dad, he's a working businessman himself, and he's currently a first-time husband to someone who's pregnant, I hope. I figured let's give the people what they want. So without further ado, today's guest is my husband, Zachary Shapiro. Welcome, Zachary.
Hello, maternity livers.
Livers. I kind of love that. It's a weird part of the body, but not quite sure what it does, but it sounds amazing.
It's better than the kidney.
Is it though?
I think so.
The kidney processes alcohol, right?
I don't know what the liver does.
Okay, we'll look it up after.
It's not good that we're bringing a child into the world and we don't know what the liver does.
That's so fair. We should really learn what every part of the body does.
It should probably be pretty important.
You know, my sister Margot, when she had to learn a bunch of the bones for school, she made a song about it, like to a Miley Cyrus song, or like maybe Miley Cyrus made a song about it, and then my sister then learned about the tibia and the fibia and all these things. That's the kind of stuff we have to do. Anyways, I realized in my last episode I called you Shapiro, and I don't know if a lot of people like realized that I was talking about you.
You refer to me as your husband a lot. I didn't really hear you ever refer to me by name.
You are my husband, Zachary Shapiro. I do that because my sisters call you Shapiro, because obviously there's another Zach in the family. And then I just got accustomed to calling you Shapiro.
It's totally fine.
What do you prefer to be called?
I answer to anything.
Do you answer to Zaddy?
No.
I think that you should be called Zaddy.
Absolutely not.
It's like Zachary Daddy.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Off the table.
Do you have like a name in mind for yourself?
Dad.
Yeah, no.
Father.
Obviously.
Papa.
Like maybe one that's a little bit more creative?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll think about it for you. I really want to get you on the Zaddy train.
No, thank you.
It's such a great word.
We can't train our child to call me Zaddy.
I guess not. But it really does make sense for you.
No, it doesn't.
It does. It's Zachary Daddy. It would be like Olivia Mommy, Ami. Like, you could do that.
I veto both.
You could do that. All right. Well, anyways, I'm so thrilled to have you on my podcast, mainly because, yes, you are the person that impregnated me. So I feel like you are just naturally a huge part of this podcast. And so what we do here on Maternity Live is we tackle the big three, big topics every week. And I want them to be so big this week. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready for that.
They're just going to be bigger than ever. People have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, but we know what we're talking about. And that's what's just so exciting to me.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Yes, you do. All right. Well, I want to kick off with a lot of people had questions around how we met, which was surprising in the sense that I never really realized that people didn't realize how we met. But then it got me thinking just about modern dating in the 21st century. So that's my broad topic for number one, modern dating. I feel like you and I were both kind of like self-hating daters.
We were definitely both self-hating daters.
Like, I feel like we both wanted each other to fall out from the sky, and we hoped that like maybe we would find each other, but we didn't actually want to put in so much effort to find each other.
That is 100% accurate.
Because it's like apps are so weird.
They are very strange. Like, you didn't fall out of the sky. You fell out of a phone.
No, I know.
That's bananas.
It is bananas, but it's also like, you go on so many bad app dates that you just can't even wrap your head around the fact that, like, you could meet somebody on an app.
The fact that we met on an app, which I don't even remember.
I barely remember it, too.
But from having a swipe left or right, I don't even know which way is yes or no at this point. But swiping can somehow get you to a beautiful marriage, a beautiful life, and now a child is crazy town.
It's crazy, but, like, I think also simplifying it like that, like, diminishes how much work goes into it.
I'm very happy to never have to do that work
here. Totally. And it's also so, I don't know, it's so depressing. I want to be uplifting and talk about it in a positive way because obviously we met each other that way. And the reason why I still held on to dating from an app perspective was because I had so many friends who did meet their significant others on apps. And I'm like, okay, well, if it can work for people that I know, then it can work. But I will just, you know, put it out there and say that when I saw you, I really wanted to meet you. Like, you were my type to a freaking T. And I just didn't really, like, believe that you could exist. And so, you know, I'll tell the story from my perspective. You can chime in, like, if I'm telling it inaccurately from yours. But
very fair.
When we matched, which I was so excited to match, we had a brief conversation. And you said that you would, you know, follow up with me after you came back from your work travels, which you never did. So that's, like, number one. You never did. And then I got, you know, probably a little too drunk at my friend Marnie's bridal shower and came home, was swiping away on my couch. And instead of being depressed about swiping away, I was like, whatever happened to that one? And so I did something that I never do. And I re-messaged you. How were your travels?
And it spawned a beautiful relationship.
It really did. I mean, from there, we made our first date plans, which you then canceled. I mean, like, you had no intention of meeting me.
The apps are jerk-offs, right? So you get involved in the apps and, like, you kind of hope that it works out. But at the end of the day, you're kind of chucking and jiving and hoping. But everyone's kind of putting in, like, minimal effort through the apps.
Yes. Except, like, I actually feel like in the case of us, like, I weirdly put in a lot of effort.
And God bless you and thank you for your effort because it is why we are here today.
100%. But it's just so wild. Like, persistence is key. And then it kind of, like, broaches this larger topic around, like, all these rules around dating. You know, should a girl text you first? How long does the boy wait till after the date? Yada, yada, yada. And it's like, why do we have these rules? Do people follow these rules? Do the rules even work?
I think we broke every rule.
I think we broke every rule, too. It's just so funny because I think a lot about of our own early dating experience, especially in the corona times that we're living in, because as I mentioned, Zachary canceled our first date. But what that spawned into was, like, a really awesome, like, text conversation. And we were just talking for a couple of days, which then progressed to being on the phone because one of my good friends told me that if you really are interested in somebody, you should have a conversation with them over the phone because you can really tell a lot about somebody from their voice. And then we were up, like, for four nights in a row to, like, 4 a.m. on the phone. And by the time we met, I felt like I loved you already, you know?
That was so crazy.
So crazy. Then we had a 6-hour date. We got, like, super drunk together that night and the next night. Like, again, we did it all wrong.
And I think
two nights after that, you finally took me on a proper dinner date.
That I did.
Yeah, you did. I like that restaurant that we went to.
It was very nice.
Yeah. Anywho, like, my God, you didn't do anything to win me over.
That's not true. And most men don't enjoy spending time on the phone hours on end. It's just not a man thing. With us, it just came very natural. And I am very lucky that that happened.
I feel like a lot of people now, though, now that people are home, could potentially start relationships similar to how we did, where it's like they can really get to know somebody over the phone or FaceTime, you know, chat away. And then by the time you actually meet the person, like, you really have that, like, by the time I met you, I felt like I knew you already.
I felt the exact same way.
Yeah. And it just was, like, so easy and so natural because I had also tried, like, 4 other times to, like, get to know you first, you know? It's funny because, like, with apps and just with dating on the internet and modern dating in general, you know, you obviously have things in your head of what you're looking for, and everybody kind of has that list in their mind. But then it's like, how do you actually find that just from, like, a little bit of information that someone provides to you on an app?
And I don't think this is a box checking exercise, right? I think you find people that you're generally interested in the same way you would meet people through a friend or in a bar or wherever the hell people meet today in 2020? I literally have no idea. I think everybody meets over the internet, right?
Like, I think they do too.
Like, we're a big internet family. Like, it's probably very internet.
No, I think it's amazing that people are meeting on the internet. I think it's amazing that we did too. It's just also the whole dynamic of it is weird.
Totally. But I think however you meet, whatever intervention that is, people ultimately will find ways to figure it out. And if it's going to work, it's going to work. And with us, it works.
Yes. It also makes me think of when I made you watch Love is Blind and the whole notion of like not seeing somebody until you meet, where I feel like that's what apps allow you to do, is like have that physical attraction, just in terms of if you like, you know, if you get a vibe from somebody from their pictures.
The app
is- You had like one picture that was kind of like cropped wonky. It just said that you were 6 foot something and you just had a cute smile. I was just like, oh my God, like a Jewish 6 foot five football player. 6 foot three?
6 foot 2.
Whatever.
You don't know how tall I am?
No, you know, it's just like, it's all in my mind, all warped together. Maybe you lied on the app. I don't know.
I did not lie on the app.
I'm joking. So I meant to say 6 foot 2. I'm sorry. And I was smitten. And you really made me work for it. But here we are. I'm so glad I did, my love.
I'm so glad you worked for it. I'm so glad I worked for it. I don't want the people to think that I didn't work. I worked hard.
No, you did. You did.
I worked hard.
But I will say that, like, at least from my perspective, like, persistence was key. I am a very proud girl. Like, I believe chivalry is not dead. And I would like to be chased, obviously. But in this instance, I chased you a little.
Yeah, but I also had to be persistent with you in some areas.
Sure.
And I think at the end of the day, if you're interested, that's probably a good message to take away from this.
Right.
Continue to chase your dreams. Continue to chase your interests.
So can I actually ask you about that? Because it's like, you obviously have some friends who are dating now too. You obviously used to be a person who dated yourself. And it's like, when you put yourself out there in the world, like, are you interested in people who are interested in you? Do you know how people always say, like, girls like guys that, like, show them no interest? Like, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think you have to be interested. And that's the whole part of the app dating game when people get serious, right? Because otherwise everyone's just kind of messing around and having conversations with strangers that they think look attractive. And hopefully they thought you looked attractive, right?
Right.
But, I mean, I'm somebody, you know me better than any person in the world now. I need to be interested in people that are interested in me. I don't like chasing people that don't want my time and attention. And that's in romantic relationships, that's in friendships, that's in business. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You always gotta go after people. There's always a certain point in any relationship, in anything you're doing, where there has to be some reciprocation.
Maybe it's also a little bit like a maturity thing. Like, as you grow up, I feel like when you're younger and you're dating, it's all kind of like about the game and it's a little bit like bullshitty. And then you have your friends like help you send the text back and whatnot. And then as you grow up, it's like, here are the facts. Does this person like me? Yes or no. Does this person pay me any attention? Yes or no. And it's just, it's more clear that you're going to invest your time in something like that versus, you know, when you're younger and you're just probably having a better time.
I think that's very fair. I think when you're younger, it is very much about the game. And I think you could look at it much more rationally, like you just laid out. And I think that's probably... I think there's probably a balance of the way to look at that. And yeah. I think we struck that balance.
Yeah, I don't think I ever thought, like, I'm being pushy with you. I just thought, like, let me just finally fucking meet him.
And I'm so glad we did.
And now I can't get away from you.
The Hudson Hotel, right?
The Hudson Hotel, that's where we had our first date.
Beautiful.
And then we also had the after party for our wedding there.
Yes, we did. That was
so full circle.
That was so nice.
So nice.
I don't think we've been back since. We should go back.
We went back, like, the one-year anniversary after we met. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the two-year anniversary, we went to the place we went on the second night.
Exactly.
So much fun.
And then the third year, we'll have to figure out what we're going to do. Yeah. I was trying to figure out, like, how long it's been. So anyways, thank you for covering big topic number one with me. I almost rushed through that just because I'm so excited about big topic number two. I just, like, don't even know what to do with myself. Because I feel like in order for us to appropriately talk about your perspectives on fatherhood, parenthood in general, and just everything that I'm dealing with pregnancy-wise, I feel like it's only fair for people to know what we're having.
I think it's time.
Do you think it's time?
Gender reveal time.
Gender reveal time. That is big topic number two today. We haven't rehearsed this, so let's just, you know, we can be like, we're having a, and then say it at the same time together.
You say we're having or I say we're having?
I'll say we're having a, and then we'll say it
all right
at the same time. Okay. We're having a
girl.
Yay, we did it. Oh my God, it feels so weird to say out loud.
That's crazy.
Crazy. I can't believe we went over 6 months without telling
people. I can't believe people haven't broadly found out. Like, our close family has done such a fantastic job of keeping this a secret.
Such a fantastic job. And to be honest with you, I've started to be a little more loose-lipped about it. I think that's also part of the reason why I wanted to share it on the podcast is like a few times at work, I slipped up. A few people that I'm, you know, they're not my closest friends, but that I'm close to. If I see them in passing and they ask me, what are you having? I'll say, I'm not telling anyone, but I'll tell you. Probably done that with like
100 people.
Six to 10 people right now. So I can't believe we're having a girl. I feel like we thought we were going to have a boy.
We did.
I think it was just because you wanted to have a boy so badly.
For me, a boy first would have been easier.
But you think that, but it's like, we don't know what we're doing anyway.
We don't know what we're doing. But with a boy, for me, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. I have a program that that a gentleman can follow.
What is your program?
From birth to bris to high school football, that it's a very regimented program.
I think you think it is, but it's not.
Nope. It would have been 100% prescriptive.
I don't think so, because it could be like with a girl from like birth to ballet to, you know, high school recitals to whatever it is. You know, it's the same format.
Maybe. I think with a girl, I can't imagine myself putting together dollhouses. I can't imagine myself
going to the American. But you're so good at putting stuff together.
I am, but I can't imagine myself at the American Girl store. I'm going to do it, and I'm not, and I will not complain, and I will be there.
You're going to love it.
I'm going to be great with it.
You're going to love it. You know what's so funny is, like, I feel like, one, especially since you've been around so many women with all my sisters now, you've kind of been way more immersed in just, like, female culture in general. So I actually feel like when you go into a store, like the American Girl doll store, you're going to know exactly what the hell is going on.
I'm
going
to know what the stylish outfit is.
And I also feel like, you know, we initially thought we were having a boy, I think because you were trying to will it into the world. I stand by that. And, you know, early on, we took a blood test. They told us that in 7 to 10 business days, we would find out what we're having. And in 7 to 10 business days, nobody called. So I called them on Christmas Eve. I was like getting panicky, like, is everything okay? Because, you know, you also take a blood test. So the receptionist at my doctor's office was like, oh my God, we're so sorry. We have you marked down as not wanting to know the gender. And I was like, no, 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 not me. Like, I feel like for us and this being our first time, we had to know. So, you know, we were home from work because it was Christmas Eve. You're here in the living room. I'm in the bedroom. And basically, I run out. You're on a conference call. I'm like, you need to hang up the phone right now. We're finding out the gender. And you're like, what's going on? I'm like, hang up the phone. And so I take this receptionist off mute. I'm like, okay, we're ready. And she's like, you're having a girl. And I only wish I could have recorded your face in that moment. You literally had like tears in your eyes and you're like, I don't know what to do with a girl.
I don't.
You don't know what to do with a kid, period.
But we're going to figure it out.
100%.
I'm so excited. I can't tell you. Just having a child in general, but just to bring a little girl into this world is insane. And I think, you know, for me, your family is going to take so much quicker to a girl than I think they would to a boy. And I think when you look at all of the Steens, I think even when you look at just you, when you look at my side of the family, I think just having a girl in the mix is a natural kind of progression of things.
And yes.
And when I have questions, like, I can literally just pass her off to you and the girls, and we can make sure that she's dressed up all stylish and she's all good to go and she's very woke with the world and will be put together and become a perfect lady.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's also funny because, you know, you have a sister, you have two cousins who are girls, your mom is a sister, your dad is a sister. It was like almost foolish for us to think that like we wouldn't have a girl just because there's obviously so much like estrogen in our systems.
I would have thought it was like 80-20 boy before. And even though all of the facts in front of us said that it was probably the inverse, that it was probably like 80-20 in favor of having a girl. Yeah. I think both of us were very much in the lines, well, it has to be a boy.
I just think you're going to be such a mush.
I think so too.
Like you really are. I think you think like, you don't know what you're doing, but I think you actually very well do.
I'm going to be... I can't wait to have, like, an actual daughter I can call my own. Aww. That's insane. That's so fun.
So cute. So, obviously, speaking of having a daughter, like, one of the most important things that you will do in your life as a parent is name your child. And I think part of what has been so fun for us in isolation is... And one of the reasons, actually, why I want to share the gender is because, like, we kept calling our child it.
Very degrading.
Like, as if the name was it.
Very degrading.
And it felt horrible. And so I'm so glad that we, you know, I'll probably actually still do it just as a habit because I'm so used to doing it by now. But actually giving our child a name it's such a difficult process.
It is so hard.
And I feel like you're a little picky.
I'm not picky. It's very, when you're naming a kid, it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl. You, in 2020, you have to think through 50 different scenarios. You have to think, how is this kid going to get bullied as a child? How can mean children manipulate the name and start bullying them just because they're named something?
That's fair.
Those are factors that I don't know if our parents ever fully thought through. Naming a kid is just so difficult. There's no easy solution around how we just pick a name out of a hat and say, okay, that's what it is.
I know. That's where I feel like the name just has to be meaningful. But I also feel like we sit around here and like contemplate all the different ways that the name could be misused or a nickname could be created out of it. And it's probably never going to happen.
Right. But then you also have the inverse where you have names of people that you know and you're like, ooh, I don't want to name that person. Or, oh, my best friend is named this. I can't be anywhere in that same genre. So there's a lot of things you got to start to think through.
There are. And there's so many lists and there's so many names and there's so many spellings.
I can't read any more baby name lists.
I know. I feel like it's also something that kind of just has to come to you. Like, you can't just pick it off of a list and say, I'm going to name my firstborn this.
Right? And I think there are some people, I think it's crazy. I have friends that have had kids and they don't even think about the name until, like, the child comes up into the world. And I don't think a child comes up into the world and you hold it and you're like, this is Marissa. Like, I think you have to go in and say that you have 6-7 names that you're debating between. And you can then start to kind of whittle it down from there.
Yeah, that's fair. That is absolutely so funny. And it's also, like, a lot of pressure because you're the oldest in your family. I'm the oldest in my family. Like, this is the oldest grandchild, both on your side and on my side.
This kid's going to have a lot of pressure.
So much pressure. And it just worries. And then it's like, and the name on top of it.
She'll be fine.
We have to do a good job,
Zach. We're going to do a great job.
I know. Well, that leads into topic number 3 that I'm very excited to tackle with you, just to really hear your approach to everything. But, you know, we talked about a modern approach to dating. I want to talk about a modern approach to parenting. Like, how are you thinking about the type of parent that you want to be?
I think I have this idea in my head where I'm going to be the authoritarian and you're going to be, like, the best friend. But I think it's going to be the exact opposite.
Totally.
I think I'm going to come out day one, like, trying to be very stern. And what's going to wind up happening is you're going to wind up being the stricter one and I'm going to wind up being like the mush and I'm going to be daddy's little girl type of thing. And whatever totally. She wants, she's going to get and you're just going to have to live with it.
Totally. And I'll get whatever I want too.
You already do.
I know that I do. It's just so crazy because, you know, at least for me, like all I think about is just how I cannot fuck up. Like I don't even care about what type of parent I'm going to be. It's just being a good one. And I know that like I will try so hard to be a good one that like it'll work out. I'll be a good one. But my God, it's so hard.
It's not easy.
It's like even before the kid is even here. So like one, the pressure of the name. Then it's like, did you get all the right things you needed? Do we have the right stroller and the right bassinet and the right this and that and wipes? And we are talking about what sort of fucking diapers we want to use. Pampers or Huggies?
We still haven't decided.
I know. But like, how do you choose? And, like, if you choose one or the other, like, did you make the wrong decision?
What's cheaper at Costco?
No, it's like your dad will read, like, some consumer reports yeah. on which one will be better for this year. But it's crazy because it's like, what did you grow up, like, doing or thinking? Did you ever, like, grow up thinking what type of parent you were going to be?
Not really. No. I know. You know, I don't ever think you grow up thinking I'm going to be this type of parent or that type of parent. I think everybody generally figures it out. And I think you generally have, hopefully, strong principles. I know we're going to have very strong principles. And you instill it in the kid. And we don't have all the answers. I don't think there is right answers.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go through and you figure it out.
Well, I just feel like, you know, and everybody always says it to me that I have a very maternal instinct. But I think that's more so just like that I just care deeply for those around me. And I just always try to make sure that everybody's okay, that everything is okay. But I also feel like that's very different than implementing a curfew, you know, putting the kid on a sleep schedule, making their freaking food. I don't even know. I only know how to feed us. And I know what you like. It took me like a while to like know that you like your meat cooked solid as a rock, but you like your eggs runny.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
I think a lot of people. I like my eggs cooked way more.
We will figure it all out. And I think with a kid, it'll all kind of come to us in time, which is a good thing. What kind of parent do you think you're going to be?
I don't know. I just, I don't want to be a worry wart. I think that's what's really important to me. Like, I don't want to have anxiety about everything that I do and wonder if I'm like doing it right or doing it wrong. And so I just like, I want to be like a best friend type, but I also want to have that discipline in the sense that the person respects me. You know, I don't want to be like taken advantage of. I think like in some movies I watch where the kids are like so flippant with the parents, I'm like, where did that parent go wrong? You know, like, I don't want to be that.
We're not going to be that.
I don't think we're going to be there, but I also want, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I had so many extracurricular activities. I did everything from playing piano to playing tennis, guitar, violin. We went to dance, blah, blah, blah. And it was amazing. And I feel like I didn't appreciate it enough because now as an adult, I don't do any of those things. So it's like, how do we also like cultivate this environment for the kid to figure out what exactly they want to do? I can now call her she. It's so hard for me. I keep saying the kid, you know?
She, her.
Whatever she wants to do, she should be able to do. But then it's like making sure that we hear her and then let her do all those things, you know?
I think our job is to put the kid in a situation where it can figure out
what it... You said the kid, so you...
Where we can put our daughter and our future daughter into a situation where she can figure out what she likes and what she doesn't like. And yeah. I think that's a big job on parents. And, you know, you grew up playing sports, playing piano
and violin
yeah. and doing many different things in between and going to camp, and you kind of figured out what you like and what you didn't. I grew up the same way. I spent a lot of time playing sports. I spent a lot of time doing stuff that I very quickly learned out that, hey, I'm not a very good recorder player. Mom and dad, take me out of this. And we just have to put the kid in a situation where it can kind of figure out what it likes to. On the flip side, I don't want to be in a situation where I feel like a lot of parents are today, which is you have chess on Monday and violin on Tuesday and playwright on Thursday and dance practice and ballet on Friday. Like,
what's playwright?
I don't know. I just feel like that's something that happens in a kid's
life.
But I think stacking things like day by day and kind of making your schedule crazy and the kid's schedule crazy is kind of productive. Like, at that point, the kid's going to grow to resent everything. And you kind of have to let them try a bunch, and then you figure out what they like and what they don't.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, me personally, I don't want to be schlepping from, you know, soccer practice.
Okay, so this is about you. This is not about
all the child. No, it's about both us and the kid. There's a mutual benefit here.
Yeah, that's fair. What do you hope that the child takes from you as a human being?
I think that's a tough question. I think the most important thing that a kid can have, and what I think both you and I actually are able to do very well, is to establish their own point of view. And I think for me, in today's world, it's very hard to get an original point of view. There's so much information out there that people just kind of wind up reading and adopting what other people say. And something that I feel like both of us do very well is we can very quickly sift through a lot of information and figure out what our viewpoint is on that. And I hope that we raise our daughter to be in a position to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think we will. I think also you'll regret saying that when she like comes in with a full face of makeup and she's like, I'm gone out.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's not a point of view.
And she's going to be like, I heard on a podcast once that you told me that I should have a point of view.
Those are future things that when it comes to raising a daughter, I don't think any male is prepared for.
And so what about siblings for our lovely little lady?
What about them?
Are you thinking about them?
Of course. I would love to have multiple children, but right now I'm focused on just getting this one out, having you, her mom, be healthy.
Yeah, me too.
And then we'll figure out how the rest
of them happen. I kind of want to just bang them out because it just feels like, let me just be pregnant for this period of time in my life. And then like I'll have the rest of my life to not be pregnant.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that I'm thinking that way.
No, I understand. I also understand that you and Jackie are less than 2 years apart. You and Claudia are 3-4 years apart. And you and Margot
That's how I grew up.
Yeah.
But there's 6 years between all of us.
Right.
And I think it's amazing because you just have built-in friends.
Yeah. And I think that's fantastic. My sister and I, we're 4 years apart.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's probably easier to have kids that are closer together.
Well, because then you at least overlap in school.
Yep.
Like
my sister and I never did, and that was always challenging.
When in my senior year, Claudia was a freshman.
Yeah.
So like we always had that. And then Jackie was a junior. So like there were three of us in school at any given moment in time. And like that was so fun. Thank you for tackling the big three with me. Like, what a fun big three.
So much fun.
I'm so excited for people to find
the gender reveal. That's
bananas. It's exciting.
So exciting.
Do you think people are going to be surprised?
I think so. I wonder if there's like bets being taken somewhere on the internet.
I saw like somewhere that a lot of people think that I'm having a boy.
That's so funny.
I think if they knew me and they knew really the struggle that I've been having in terms of how sick I've been feeling and how fat I've been getting everywhere. They do say that's like old wives' tales that, like, you know, maybe a boy is more of an easier pregnancy than a girl. But I also feel like different people's circumstances are different.
You've not been getting fat. You're pregnant.
Thank you. As I said earlier in my podcast, that's what you say to me every day. It's like on repeat.
I'm getting fatter than you are.
Well, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your pregnancy cravings because, you know, everyone was very excited to hear the story about the saltines. And I will, you know, I'll tell the world that you did buy me some new saltines.
I got more saltines earlier that day. When you yelled at me, there were more saltines earlier in the house.
Yes, I just couldn't reach them.
Okay, we have a stepladder. If I'm not in the house...
I don't need to bring a stepladder out to just reach my saltines.
Very fair, and we've learned.
We've learned.
But I am obsessed with saltines
right now. So am I. They're so good.
They're so good.
I had like half a sleeve this morning.
Have you noticed I do this thing? I used to do this when I had roommates too, where like... The food that you bring in the house, I'm more interested in than the food that I bring into the house. So what I'll wind up doing is I'll wind up eating whatever you brought in, and then I'll wind up replacing it. But I'll replace it twice. So like if you bring in a pack of saltines, I'll buy two more. I'll eat it, and then I'll have two more packs of saltines.
Yeah, I see you sometimes do that with like things I order on Amazon. Like you got really into like a lot of those weird health foods I ate, like Thinnables, which are now apparently no longer on Amazon, which is so friggin' sad. But
there's so much fake stuff in that. Like
so much, I know. But like they're so good. They taste better than Cheez-Its.
Way better than Cheez-Its.
This is not an ad for Thinnables. I mean, if you wanted to sponsor, just remember, you always can. But this is not an ad for Thinnables. But back to your pregnancy cravings, because what's so funny, and I don't think people know this about you, is that like well before we were pregnant, even before we were married, you like always kind of had weird cravings. Like you got a French onion soup craving once and we had to like go get you some French onion soup. You had a pancake craving or like waffles. We went all the way to New Jersey to get you these like freaking waffles you wanted.
We did.
Like, what is up with you?
I don't know. I'm just always pregnant.
Very true.
It's fantastic. I think saltines would probably be my number one craving right now.
Really?
I think the other one is some combination of ice cream and steak, which are like polar opposite ends of the spectrum.
But by the way, I would say I feel very strongly about the two of those things, where I'm going to make steak for dinner.
Wonderful. I've had more ice cream funneling through our home than ever before in our lives. It's just literally on repeat. And by the way, I'm having the time of my life.
Well, you know what's funny is like within like the first, I would say like three, four maybe months that I met you. And I met your mom, and she was telling me that, like, her whole belief system every night has been, no matter how full you are from dinner, that you can always get ice cream down to fill the nooks and crannies. And so I just feel like you kind of always probably grew up that way, that, like, ice cream is ingrained in you.
We were a big ice cream house. Like, big, like, Friendlies and Edie's cartons just in the freezer.
I know. Our freezer now isn't big enough to hold stuff like that.
No, which I guess is probably good as we're considering as we're bringing a child into the world and considering how to raise them.
And, like, thinking about raising a child, what's so funny is, like, we kind of always, like, knew that we wanted to have the year to ourselves before we started trying. But I actually feel like you were very ready to have a child kind of even before I was. And, like, I've been ready for it my whole life. Don't get me wrong. But I just also feel like you're never really ready for it until it happens for you.
I don't think we're going to be ready for it even after she comes into the world. I think we're just going to kind of figure out how to do with it. But, like, mentally... I'm ready for it. I've been ready for it for a while. I always grew up, my friends will tell you, I always had very strong paternal instincts. And I'm excited to be able to kind of bring my own into the world, our own into the world.
Like, does it feel as real for you as it's like starting to feel for me?
I think so. It feels like you've been pregnant forever.
Because I have been, Zachary.
Olivia, we went from going on our honeymoon in Italy, like just running around the countryside, eating all the pizza, pasta, gelato that we could find, drinking every wine that we could find in the country. And you've been pregnant ever since. And that trip feels so long ago.
So long.
And we still have, like, we have another trimester to go here.
I know.
That's crazy. Is it trimester or trimester?
I don't know. Trimester.
Trimester sounds more emphatic.
I know, but I think it's trimester.
We have another trimester to go. It's
beautiful.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's just like in the beginning, it really didn't feel real for me. I think it started to feel real as we started to tell people, but like the more that my body's changing and it's like inevitable that like I look down and I see a belly. I kind of always looked down and saw a belly, but like there's a it's a whole different level of belly where I'm just like, wow, I'm pregnant. And I think also now when you feel the kicks.
The kicks are crazy.
The kicks are crazy.
I feel the flutters. They're crazy.
I know. I can't wait until we like start feeling like kicks and like you can see the belly moving and you can really feel it.
When we had the ultrasound and we saw her move her leg.
Yeah.
On the screen while you felt it, that was freaky for me. I don't even know what it was like.
You know, it's so funny. We went to this scan. This is a different scan than the scan story I told last time. But our daughter was like laying there on her back with her legs up above her head. And we just like could not get over how flexible she was. For the two of us who, both of us have never been able to touch our toes.
I can't tie my shoes.
Like, it's crazy. And here she is like flipping all, you know, maybe she'll be a gymnast. Maybe that's her passion, Zachary.
God, I hope not.
Why?
I don't know how to train for a gymnast.
You don't know how to train for anything.
I hope she does whatever she enjoys doing.
Totally. I think it would just be like cool if she really could like, I love watching that stuff. Like if she could flip and back handspring, go on the bars. Like it would be amazing.
I feel like your sisters are very like athletic and could do a lot of that type of stuff. Like Jackie's a fantastic dancer. I'm sure she would have been a great gymnast.
We did take gymnastics as kids, but it never manifested into anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And we used to do like fake flips on our trampoline in our backyard. But again, like, it was all fake. You know, we could do cartwheels, but no one could ever do back handsprings. I tried to do a back handspring at summer camp once and the woman like didn't realize that she needed to spot me more. And like, I literally crashed on my neck.
I can't do a cartwheel. So, or a handstand.
I used to be able to do a cartwheel. I definitely don't think I could be able to do one now.
I have a question for you.
Oh, let's hear it.
What is the thing that you're most excited about?
Ooh, that's such a great question. I think I'm just most excited that like, something that like we created will come into the world. Yeah, and like just crazy. To see like what it is and what it does.
It's so crazy.
And even like what she looks like. Like what do we look like together? And like what is the type of person that she's going to turn out to be? I think like one of the things that I love most about you that I see in myself is like just your strength and how much of like, you kind of talked about it before in terms of having a point of view, but just like you're a rock solid person and like somebody could always count on you. And I feel that way about myself and I pride myself on being that way. So it's like, I just can't imagine like us bringing in this like little human who's just going to be an extension of that.
I hope those are the right qualities that she gets.
Like, I think I'm just generally, I'm so excited about just everything. And then I'm, like, so anxious about, like, every little thing. You know, like, generally speaking, like, at a macro level, I'm like, oh, my God. This is so exciting. Then at a micro level, I'm, like, psychoanalyzing every little freaking thing. The same way you kind of are, like, that night that you got really verklempt about the car seat.
Okay, that's a thing.
Is it a thing, though?
It's a thing. We had to go. So, we live in New York. And it's very hard to, in New York, we don't have a car, so we take a lot of taxis and Ubers. And it's not easy to have a car seat in the city. And so I'm reading about all of the stuff about how car seats aren't compatible with strollers. And I start freaking out. And so the next day, we wound up going baby shopping. And we wound up at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And lovely place, lovely Sunday.
Lovely Sunday.
And we made sure that we can find the right accoutrements that work together.
So many accoutrements.
So many accoutrements.
It's so crazy. It's like, and like, do you get the right ones? This is what I'm saying is like, there's 17 million strollers on the market.
There's literally no right one.
And right now there's like a stroller that's more like in style, like everybody has, but like, is it the best one?
I don't think there's any best one or not best one. I think we just kind of make the decision and we go from there.
I know. I know we'll figure it out. It's just like, this is where my anxiety comes in, where I'm like, This or that. But like at a high level, I'm just most excited about absolutely everything. And then I'm going to go crazy on the details.
I spent far too much time in the stroller market like 2 weekends
ago.
You
looked great with a stroller though.
You look great with a stroller.
Thank you.
I felt uncomfortable with a stroller.
Did you?
It was like too low. I don't know how you.
Well, you can raise it, I think.
These are all things we don't know.
Well, we love actually to just go into the park and go for our walks, but especially you.
I can't wait to like finally have a stroller that I can cart around. When I used to go.
I feel like you would take the stroller out even if the baby was at home and just like walk around with the stroller.
Maybe. And like put a doll in it so people think that there's a child. But no, when you go for a walk in the park in the morning, like before work, which I used to do sometimes when I work from home just to make
wait,
sure.
Wait,
like,
can we talk about that for a second? Sure. Like, you're basically a stay-at-home dad.
I'm not a stay-at-home dad. No, I have a full-time 50 to 60 hour a week job. I just happen to right now have an office at home.
Well, the entire world has an office from home right now, coronavirus-wise. But you do work from home, I would say, like 50% of the week.
Yeah, yes. ish.
Yeah, so you're a part-time stay-at-home dad. And I actually think it's amazing. I love the fact that, like, I can count on you to be here.
I will be here as much as I can be here.
I know. And it's so great.
I'm going to start inventing reasons to go to client meetings, but...
No, you are not.
No, I'm so...
You're going to start inventing reasons to, like, cancel all your client meetings.
Absolutely. I can't wait to wake up in the mornings, and especially when it's nice out in the city, to so being able to kind of take her for a stroll, and I can go bop around with my little stroller with the rest of Manhattan and Central Park. I'm going to be one... I'll be the it crowd. Have fun.
You'll be right there with the parents. You know... That's what I was talking about earlier, is like, I'm so excited about all the parent friends we're going to make.
You were talking about the PTA earlier.
I was.
I haven't heard the PTA since, like, my mom mentioned it in fifth grade.
Your mom was definitely a part of the PTA.
She was definitely a part of the PTA.
Are you going to be involved?
I haven't wrapped my head around the PTA until...
Is it, like, the DTA, like the dads, you know?
No, I think PTA is
parents. As parents, I know. Yeah. I'm joking. Maybe the Zaddies?
No, okay. No. Okay. No, okay. No Zaddy.
Okay.
The PTA is just something I haven't quite wrapped my head around. I will be involved in school. I'll be very involved in all
I know all you will be. You just, like, love to be involved, so I could, like, see you being really involved.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, you're so good at it. Just like inserting yourself in a whole bunch of different things.
You're welcome.
Anyways, Zachary, thank you so much for joining me on my second episode of Maternity Live. It just wouldn't have been the same without you.
Thank you for having me.
I cannot believe that we just shared probably like the second biggest news ever. The first biggest news was that we were pregnant. And the second biggest news is that we're having a girl.
It's so exciting to be here.
So exciting. And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so, again, appreciative of everybody's support. I love the community that we're creating and that everybody has an opportunity to share, you know, what they think with me, with each other. So email me at maternitylivepod@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group, Maternity Livers. Of course, that is homework for me to do after this podcast, is find out what the liver actually does in the body. And with that, I sign off. Love you all. See you next week for another great episode where we tackle everything under the sun as it relates to our personal, professional, pregnant, parenthood lives. See ya.